This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison with Noel Lim in the studio this morning. Now, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin might set a deadline for the COVID-19 vaccine registration, saying that that it cannot stay open forever. We're actually asking you a question on Twitter right now. Should there be a deadline for vaccine registration? You can tell us over there. Right now, 31% say yes, 52% say no, and 15% say it doesn't matter. The Prime Minister has said that doing this will help ease the immunization community's work in ensuring an efficient rollout and hopefully achieve the 80% herd immunity target quicker.
Yeah, so I think the government wants to reach herd immunity of our 32 million population by December instead of February 2022. I think herd immunity might mean something like 60 to 80% of the population, the population above 18. But registration numbers so far has been dismal. We're only 6 million Malaysians sign up so far, and that works out to be something like 26% of the population above 18.
And that was of March 23rd, according to data released by the Special Committee on Ensuring Access to COVID-19 Vaccine Supply, or JKJAV for short. At the rate things are going, how will the low uptake of vaccine registration affect the National COVID-19 Immunization Program? To find out, we're speaking right now to Azrul Mohamed Khalib, CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. Azrul, thanks for your time this morning. The registration numbers for the COVID-19 vaccination don't look encouraging. Why do you think we're seeing such a slow uptake?
Well, there's quite a number of reasons for this to actually happen. And definitely vaccine hesitancy is one of those issues that the government and the community will actually have to deal with, especially if you're a healthcare provider who's trying to educate people to get registered. But there's also an issue of Malaysians basically waiting until the last minute possibly to want to register. There's quite a lot of reasons why this could actually happen. And I don't think we fully understand why there's such a low uptake of registration as yet. But with the availability of more options to register, I think we should see an improvement in numbers soon.
Well, our poll residents are not for setting a deadline to register for the vaccination. What is your view about that deadline?
Well, with all due respect, a deadline would not only be counterproductive, it would be a form of injustice, It would penalise people who are not fortunate and privileged enough to have a smartphone, have and understand information on COVID-19 and the vaccines at their disposal, most importantly, be able to make a decision on whether or not to take the vaccine. It would also not be in line with meeting public health objectives of a vaccination campaign, which is to reach out to the community and ensure their participation and support towards reaching at least 60% coverage. Now, don't forget, as we mentioned just now as well, that the government is aiming at 80% coverage. We'll never get there if we use negative reinforcements or use shortcuts like putting a deadline. You have to put in the time and effort towards addressing concerns such as vaccine hesitancy. So yes, the statistics on vaccine registration is worrying. 6.4 million registrations so far, or 27% of Malaysia's 32 million population. And also, consider the fact that MySejahtera app has actually 21 million users. I mean, we're wondering, where are these people? I mean, why aren't they registering? And we are expecting that for phase two, 9.4 million people will be vaccinated. So as mentioned, it is precisely in anticipation of possible registration problems and being solely dependent on the MySejahtera app that a variety of options, including website registration through the phone, and hopefully, if they can start soon, through outreach teams were introduced.
So, Azrul, what's the best way to approach this problem, right, to get more people to register? Mosty and the vaccine minister, Kari Jamaluddin, said a house-to-house community outreach program for manual registration will be carried out by the National Disaster Management Agency, assisted by the military. Do you think this will be helpful in pushing up the numbers?
Well, Roshan, I think that this is a great idea and it should be done. But I am a bit confused, though, by we need to get NADMA and the military forces involved. I mean, don't they already have their hands full in dealing with the epidemic itself, safeguarding quarantine facilities, doing those roadblocks and enforcement of all those SOPs. So I would suggest, instead of using NADMA and the military, why not have, organizations like the Malaysian Red Crescent Society, St. John's Ambulance, NGOs like Mercy and Imaret and even village committees to conduct those house-to-house community outreach programs. The form is already accessible via the internet and can be filled using a notebook, computer, tablet, or a smartphone, which these teams can help fill in for those people in those communities who are not savvy or literate or don't have a smartphone. So if you think about a voter registration drive, this is how we can do it. We can do it at the morning markets or even at a mama shop. So remember that the government must move away from its thinking that the people must go to them. Instead, the government must reach out to people and communities and not solely expect the people to go and reach out to them.
Do we have any idea what's the profile of people or age group that has the highest vaccine hesitancy?
Well, this is a very good question. And unfortunately, we don't really fully understand or know. We only have anecdotal information. And quite a number of those who are hesitant seem to be in the older category of people, people who seem to be getting the information through WhatsApp, you know, family group, WhatsApp groups, social media, you know, all that, you know, and they seem to be having a far higher number of misinformation and disinformation posts that they're receiving and seem to be, you know, pushing a lot of the vaccine hesitancy. The younger group, though, seems to be more wanting to get vaccinated. So that's a good thing. But, you know, we need everybody to get on board.
So given this this anecdotal evidence that we have, right, what do you suggest? How do these, you know, you're doing the door-to-door situation, going reaching out to these people who are vaccine hesitant, what kind of training do the people on the ground who are going out to reach out to these individuals need? And how do they address, I guess, the hesitancy?
Well, you know, this is one of the challenges that's going to be faced by a house-to-house community campaign. You know, they definitely would need to be at least trained to answer basic questions and address any concerns raised by those who need more information or clarification. I think we definitely need to invest in this because it could yield quite a bit of dividends when it is concerning those who are hesitant or even opposed, because we might even be able to convert those who are previously thinking this way into a supporter or promoter vaccination programs. You know, if you have questions, your ato, ai, or pati has questions too, and their gang and their kampong will need answers to them. So if they're going to be convinced to take the vaccines, they need to be also be able to have their questions answered. Honestly, adult vaccination programs anywhere around the world have always been a pain in the neck and often yield inconsistent results. I mean, consider the uptake of flu vaccines in Malaysia was at 7.48 doses per 1,000 population, while Singapore was 14 per 1,000. So, you know, this is not vaccinating infants here. We're vaccinating adults, and that's always a much more challenging feat.
Well, the government is setting up a COVID-19 fund to compensate people who require extended hospitalisation or 500,000 ringgit if there's permanent disability or death as a result of taking the vaccine. What are your views about this?
Well, it's certainly generous. You know, most countries don't have such a compensation framework when it comes to the COVID-19 vaccination. And considering, you know, the exceptional circumstances everyone's operating in, I think Malaysia's move should not be interpreted as casting doubt on the integrity and effectiveness of the vaccine. Rather, it is really in recognition that we are learning new things about SARS-CoV-2 every other day, and that the government wants to be able to be in a position to help people, especially those who are receiving vaccines, if anything happens. So, you know, I think that it's a good move on the part of the government to just be safe and wanting to ensure that if there's any harm, that they are able to help.
Well, conceptually, it's similar to buying insurance, right? End of the day, yeah, you buy TPD or medical insurance, not because you think something bad is going to happen to you, but just in case you buy an umbrella to kind of protect yourself on the downside. And maybe that also relates to maybe the more conservative nature. Like, people are risk adverse because they don't want it to affect their livelihoods. But do you think that more ought to be done by the government when it comes to being, I guess, transparent in conveying information on vaccine safety? Can more be done there, or is the government doing enough?
Well, you know, honestly, when we look at the global situation, even the Malaysian situation, I mean, vaccine safety has been exceptional when you compare to the other documented adverse reactions for other medication, pharmaceutical products, etc. You know, so The number that have been involved in adverse reactions have been very, very small when you consider that even in a population of 70 million, like for the blood clots case right now, out of 17 million, only 40 cases of blood clots were detected. Even then, that was not considered something that was intrinsically linked back to the vaccine. So the reactions that have been reported so far, and I think, you know, the health minister has mentioned in one of his press conferences that are actually typically expected of a normal vaccination exercise. You know, you have fever, body aches, you know, pain, a little bit of headaches, you know, and usually there's pain at the vaccination site. You know, these are typical reactions that can be expected when you do vaccination. And I think, you know, if you consider, it's actually a good thing that the body has some form of reaction against the vaccine, because it shows that it's probably working, you know. And it's important here that none of the adverse, severe adverse reactions so far reported have been linked and proven to affect the safety and efficacy of the vaccines that we currently have and use here in Malaysia.
Azrul, always a pleasure having you on the line with us. Thank you for your time. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalib, the CEO of the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy. And I think I want to reiterate his last point there. Don't confuse correlation with causation. There is a difference. And sometimes data that looks like it's very similarly rated doesn't mean that it's one causes the other. It's important to take a look at the details over there. We've got a poll running for you on Twitter right now. Should there be a deadline for vaccine registration? Get your votes in now. 29% say yes, 57% say no, and 12% say it doesn't matter. And I guess the one of the sentiments here is that Malaysia has a habit of extending deadlines, and maybe they're just expecting it to get extended. Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, the Breakfast Grill, where Junior Cho, where Lin Mark will be speaking to Junior Cho, CEO of Zurich General Insurance Malaysia. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.